Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, here with our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson.
And I'm Ryan Dobson. And Dad, we're going to continue a conversation we began last time on an area of family life that is very close to your heart.
It is, Ryan. And that has to do specifically with how the church is helping the family through tough situations. When one family member is severely disabled, And they need a lot of help. Mm. And our guest is Reverend David Glover, whom I just met last time. And he has a great passion for this need as well. Mm-hmm. Like many of us, David overlooked that segment of the population until the Lord got his attention through the birth of his grandson, Zachariah.
Which we actually heard a little bit more about last time, Dr., how Zach just really grabbed his heart. Quickly, if anyone missed day one of our conversation, we'd encourage you to go to drjamesdobson.org and listen in online or get a CD there.
Well, David described how that experience changed the course of his life forever. Mm. He's an ordained pastor, but now he's devoted his life to heeding the call of God in a different arena. David's been married to his wife, Lee, for 39 years, and together they run an outreach called Pure Ministries. And it's an absolutely wonderful ministry that's designed to help encourage and meet the needs of disabled children and their families.
Well, Dad, we learned last time that PURE is actually an acronym, and let me quickly recap what the meaning behind that is. P stands for perfectly created by a loving sovereign God, designed for his purposes. U, unique in his or her own gifts and talents. R, receptive and responsive to our communications, touch, and acts of love. And E, eternal. Mm-hmm. There are no disabled souls.
I love that.
And this positive word for a person with disabilities is being introduced to everyone Pure Ministries comes into contact with. And we are pleased to have him back with us today to discuss the inner workings of his mm-hmm. ministry.
Reverend Glover, I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation last time, and it touched my heart. There were moments when I kind of fought the tears back because there is such truth in what you are saying. Let's get into the subject again, can we?
Let's do it. I'm game.
My father was a minister and a pastor, so I understand the pressures that are on the pastorate. And everybody has something they want him to do. So he can't win. And I don't want to be in the position here today of saying things that make his job more difficult because it's already really tough. But this problem we're talking about today is part of a larger scenario, it seems to me. In that there is a tendency in some churches to cater to and try to attract the young, upwardly mobile, professional, intact families. They're the ones that can pay the bills. They're the ones that can serve on the church board. They're the ones that can teach Sunday school classes. They're the ones that attract more like them. And what about those that are, not real clean or not gainfully employed or those that you're just not drawn to that kind of person? And they need the Lord desperately too. Mm-hmm. So this kind of rejection of those who are not quite whole in our view, even though they are pure, is part of this larger scene of the kind of congregation we want. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
Dr. Dobson, you've really hit on a important subject, and it's one that I feel so strongly about. And in fact, I've written a book that addresses that. It's because I think that's sort of where the church is today. In fact, I have a fear that when Jesus comes back, if he goes into one of our big churches, he's going to start saying, where are my people? Mm-hmm. Is this it? Mm-hmm. Where are the hurting people? Because if we look at the life of Jesus on this earth, he chose to spend them mostly with the outcast.
Yeah, lepers.
Yeah.
The
exactly.
Blind sitting with a little cup waiting for people to drop a coin in. I mean, that's what he devoted himself to.
And this is, I guess, the point that you were bringing, which is such a good one. And again, what I'm going to say may be really radical, but I really believe it's the truth. And God has been sharing this with me, and I've included a chapter in my book called Truth Cloaked in Irony.
What's the name of the book?
The book's called A Better Way. And it's the subtitle is Divine Appointments for the Disappearing and the Invisible. And the title is, we try to explain that the invisible are these pure people and these pure families. They're invisible because they're not in our churches. They're not out in public as much as we see them as other folks because it's hard to get out. But the more insidious reason that they're invisible is because we look right through them. Mm-hmm. We've taught ourselves not to see them because, as Ryan said, it's too awkward. And we feel too uncomfortable, so we just pretend they're not there.
Well, what was the Lord saying to you when he called you to this ministry? And how did he say it?
It gets back to one of my favorite little sayings. In fact, we have these, we'll talk about, I'm sure, these pure celebrations across the country now. And I end these pure celebrations with something that's near and dear to my heart. The whole challenge to people as they come to these big events is the next time you're in Walmart. And God used, as we were sort of agonizing over this after Zach died, whether or not this is something I was supposed to be doing in my family, we found ourselves at a Walmart in Ormond Beach, Florida. And this transformation that happened in my life through the life of Zach and what all God had done with me and opening my eyes to this whole group of invisible people, a group home of about probably seven or eight adults came into this Walmart, this very busy super Walmart. And normally, I sort of separate my life, besides my salvation experience, I call myself in my pre-Zach days and my post-Zach days. In my pre-Zach days, I would have done what most people did in that Walmart. In my post-Zach days, now I go up to them and talk to them. Yeah. So I did. And God, like he audibly said to me, he said, David, watch what happens. And so I got behind those folks a little bit and watched them go through this super Walmart crowded with people. An amazing thing happened. Not a single person ever spoke to anybody in that group. Mm-hmm. They were not making a scene. They were very polite. They were just as, just like anybody else, except if you looked at them, you knew that they had issues. But I watched them, and not a single person ever spoke to them. And I left there that night saying, that can't be. And it certainly can't be in the church.
My view on this changed after the Emily Colson program. I was in the supermarket. It was kind of late. And there was a dad pushing a cart around with a kid just going nuts, just screaming about everything. And at first I was like, seriously, discipline, got a book for you. No guy. I mean, something. And then it dawned on me, you know what? Maybe your child's got autism. Maybe there's another issue going on that I don't know about. And you're not going to carry a signboard going, I can't help this. This is the life I live every day, all day long. And I can remember back when Lincoln was colicky, he would scream everywhere we went. And I get that look from people like, can't you do something? And I'm like, if there was, I would. And I thought, all right. And I started praying for that person, thinking, it doesn't matter if you don't know what discipline is and you can't control your child, or if there's another issue I don't know about, you know, it's okay.
And those parents feel that. Well, you know, they feel that people staring at them and those situations like that. And you know, it's just, if we can just remember to do what you did, to put ourselves in their shoes sometimes, and it's not to give everybody a pass, it's not disciplining their children, I know, Dr. Dobson, but there's so many cases that are like that, that could it just be that God, one of the purposes of these special people he puts on this earth, that we summarily dismiss of no value, no worth, that he actually uses them to actually make us what he wants us to be. And I really believe that in my own case, personally, that happened through my grandson. But everybody's not going to get to be a granddad of Zach. And everybody's not going to get to be a special needs parent. But I'm here to tell you, when people get involved with pure people, no matter who they are, you just can't do it and maintain the attitude, well, you know, I'm not going to get down on the floor and play with that kid. You know, I just don't do that kind of thing. Or I'm not going to, you know, if that's your attitude, you can't relate to these people. When we start to relate to pure people, and I tell people this all the time, I said, you know, you just got to, before you walk in, you got to take your pride and ego off. And you got to say, you know, Lord, this relationship I'm about to enter into, I don't define the terms of it. I cannot control it. And that's really what keeps so many of us away, mm-hmm. you know. But the neat part about all this, and I think this is just something that, again, God's been revealing to me as I look back in my own life. I think when we do start to relate and love on these folks, that it allows us then better to love on and relate to other people that are cast out because our expectations are changed.
Reverend Glover, speak to the person listening right now who has never encountered a pure child. They really have not. Their world has been very antiseptic, and they've been very excluded from all of that, but their conscience has been pricked. But really, what does this look like? What are you asking them to do in a very practical way?
Good question. One of the things that we're really promoting, that we're encouraging churches to do, as if the ministry, if they have no ministry at all, or if they're just struggling and operating sort of traditionally on Sunday morning, and that is provide in-church respite care once a month.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Most churches will have a mom's morning out or something like that. Tragically, I guess the case may be, that would not include pure children because they require special care in most cases. And so this family that needs it the most, they're not included in the program that's offered the most. And so we're just saying, pick out a Saturday evening or Friday night or something and say for 3 hours, you tell pure families in your community, we want to care for your pure child and brothers and sisters for 2 or 3 or 4 hours, and you go do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And rather than telling you to come fit into our Sunday morning service where maybe you're not comfortable yet, we're going to show you that we love you as a body of Christ. And we're going to, as the subtitle of my book says, we're going to disappear in the sense that you're not going to see us by doing this. You're going to see Jesus loving you through us. Mm-hmm. And we're not asking you to fit in. So we're saying, we want to care for your kids.
But that's a little scary because I'm thinking I have no medical experience. You know, we have a child with some severe needs here. What if I do something wrong? That's kind of terrifying.
You know, and that fear keeps a lot of folks from doing it. And it sounds good. You know, it sounds like a really good excuse. It sounds like a good reason. Well, we just can't do this. You know, just the fact that you don't have special needs training, and that doesn't exist, by the way, but people like that term, special needs training. If we had special needs training, we'd do it. Mm-hmm. And I just say, well, okay, I'm going to show you. If we would just go with me to the Children's Hospital here in Colorado Springs, or if we're in Atlanta, it doesn't matter. Just go with me down there because probably right now a mom is taking a baby home, and that baby has been diagnosed with some type of disability. And I said, I want to show you how much training that mom gets mm-hmm. about that child. And so I take up a book or something and I hand it to them. I say, good luck. Mm-hmm. Don't call us, we'll call you. Most of the kids we're going to be, and people we're going to be loving on and caring for, we're not going to have to put in feeding tubes. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going to have to be doing surgery and those kinds of things. We just need to love on them and relate to them. That's what we're called to do. Mm-hmm. And so the fear of some critical situation occurring is, you know, it could happen. At our church, we have a very large respite care program going on, and we'll have 200 or 300 people there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 100 kids, and it's a big
in
it's
a group setting.
In
like
a group,
that.
Well, we have all kinds of things going on, and what that is, and of course, that's a big example. And this, what we're trying to advocate to churches again is just to slide into ministry, and to not think about it as traditionally just that Sunday morning classroom. That's a part of it, but that's not it. We want to build relationships. And so we can do that a whole lot easier in a non-teaching environment.
Sure. And maybe for a Sunday, just sit with the parent in that room and see how they interact and ask the questions. We do that with babysitters. We never just have someone go, oh, no, I'm a babysitter, and then leave our house with our child alone. You know, we do that where we're home while you're there to see how you interact with our child mm-hmm. to make sure you're doing okay. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. The other thing is, when can we get over ourselves? I mean, honestly, we did a photo shoot the other day with Lucy because she's a newborn. We want to do newborn baby photos. And at one point, she went to the bathroom on Lincoln, another one she did on Laura. And that's what babies do, you know? And so we cleaned it up and cleaned off Lincoln and cleaned the clothes off and changed diapers and did all that kind of stuff. And we went on. And afterwards, she goes, you know, this shoot took so much less time because you didn't freak out. I'm like, who freaks out? She goes, are you kidding me? We have people literally scream when this happens, terrifies the baby. The baby screams. They can't get it calmed down. Everybody gets stressed. Everyone freaks out. I'm like, babies go to the bathroom. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. They eat, they sleep, they go to the bathroom.
How'd Lincoln take it?
He was... At first, he was not that thrilled. Didn't want to hold her on his lap any longer. But he took it like a champ. It was like, hey. And I told him, I go, you did this too. And then he laughs. Yeah. So people make noise. We smell funny. Yeah. We make messes.
We're human.
It's not that big of a deal. Just reach out. That's what they want. They really do. They want you to reach out. Be like, what can I do? Or just come and do it. Can we come? We're going to come over, clean your house. We're going to come bring food. We're going to come and do something so that they don't have to think of ways for you to keep yourself busy while you're there. Just do something for them.
You know, Ryan, that's such a great point. I tell people probably the most useless phrase in the English language is, you know, if I can do anything, just let me know.
No.
And so, you know, most of the time we know that they're not going to let us know.
No.
And so I remember when Zach was a child, and we had so many friends, you know, just praying for us and for my daughter and my son-in-law. But we had one lady who just showed up, and she would just clean house for my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't call and ask.
When Lucy was born, people go, well, what can we bring over?
Yeah.
And I had no sleep for weeks, and I was like, food, something to eat. I'm not
That's
picky.
Right.
If I don't have to make it, I'm going to eat it.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Reverend David Glover, and I want to do for you, which I've done for 150 other ministries, I'd like to give you a boost. And let me take these last two or three minutes to tell people how they can find you, where you are, what kind of things you do, and how they can be of assistance to you. You're speaking all over the country, right?
Yes, sir.
How can people book you?
Well, or just go to our website, which is pure-ministries.com. Mm-hmm. It has all the contact information there.
All right. Now, you have an event coming up that I read about. Tell us about it.
Yes, sir. We started back in 2010 having these large major events, and they are intended to draw Christians who would come to this event that normally would not come to something that were related to disability. And these things are called Pure Celebrations. And we had the one in Atlanta, which is our inaugural one.
How many people were there?
We had about 4,000. We hoped for a lot more. But we had Governor Sarah Palin came, and she has agreed to be our official ambassador of Pure Ministry.
She has a Down's child.
She has trig. And we have Chris Tomlin, wonderful performer. David Reagan, Kurt and Brenda Warner do a video for us. And we had just a tremendous event. We're having another one soon coming up in Birmingham, which will be
our
second.
April 20th?
April 20th at the Hannah Center at the Samford University in Birmingham. And we'll have Chris Tomlin doing a special concert. Jenny Owens, wonderful, wonderful performer. Hopefully Governor Palin will be coming again.
They will get information about that from your website.
They'll get information about that. And we just want to assure people that this is a great night. We call it a night of inspiration, worship, and possibilities. And it's not get people into an arena and beat people over the head with why they're not ministering to people. This is a night of encouragement, and it's mostly wonderful praise. And we have a few little inspirational videos. And then we have David Nasser, who's going to be speaking, a young pastor, really wonderful guy.
What does it cost to have you come to a church to speak?
Well, it costs what I'm worth, which is zero. We don't charge or anything. We charge to come to the Pure Celebration because they cost a fortune to put on because we do them really extraordinarily well. They're really great events. But we don't charge for any of our speaking or anything. We just feel like, I always tell people I don't ever want money to ever get in the way of this. And so it's hard enough to get the ear of a pastor or a church, you know, then to throw money in front of them. That's another excuse. We don't want any excuses.
So what I hear you saying is if I'm very convicted and I want to start something like this in my church, you and Pure Ministry would be a great place to start.
That's exactly right. We hope so.
What's the last thing you want to say to people?
Don't miss Pure People. Yeah. Don't miss the opportunity. Get past your fear and get past your any reservations you may have. And I understand this because, once again, I would have not chosen to do this. God, I'm like so many other special needs parents. I'm a special needs grandparent. I may not have chosen if I had only knew what I knew before all this happened. Now, I would choose it. Mm-hmm. And so I would just encourage people to, again, just to drop anything that keeps them from knowing a pure person being around them. Because truly, based on Matthew 25:40, when we do this, when we reach out to people and we love on them, to the least of these, Jesus is there. It's mm-hmm. a divine appointment.
It's as though you were doing it to him.
It's Jesus is there. He really is. I mean, he's really in that. Somehow he's in that encounter, and he loves being there, and we get to experience him in a way that we probably wouldn't any other way.
People who have been listening to me for 8 or 10 years know that I went to a company picnic one time, and I was walking along. There were about 2,000 or 3,000 people there, and somebody called my name, and I turned around, and there was a little boy in a wheelchair, and I went over and knelt down, and his name was Kyle West. He was about 7 years old at the time, and he just began telling me how much he loved Odyssey and how much he loved the work that I do, and said all these nice things. And I just kind of knelt there and got acquainted with him, and he was so delightful. He actually had cerebral palsy and was not able to walk, and I just chatted with him. And then I said, why don't you ask your daddy to bring you to my office sometime? And he said, I'd really like that. So he showed up, and instead of bringing him to my office, I took him into the studio and sat him down, and we began talking together and recorded that. I've played that interview many times. He's known all over the country. He went on to become one of the most outstanding students here in Colorado Springs. He's now at Patrick Henry College, a highly academic school. He's in his sophomore year doing very well. I got the blessing out of that.
Exactly.
You know, just taking a moment to talk to a child. And that's the kind of thing you're talking about.
That's the message.
Thank you, Reverend Glover, for coming from Atlanta to be with us and pricking our hearts a bit, because I've felt it. Mm-hmm. And I think the Lord has been here. May he continue to bless your ministry and your work and your family. And you're going to see little Zach in heaven someday,
amen.
Aren't
that's
you?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Indeed.
Amen. Amen.
Well, these last 2 days have been so uplifting, and I just really hope that parents have walked away from this broadcast feeling encouraged and a little empowered.
And for those who are still feeling a little overwhelmed, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know how we can pray for you or even get you more information on what David's organization is doing. Just call. Our number is 877-732-6825. Or maybe you're not the parent of a special needs child, but you've been convicted by the challenge that Reverend Glover has brought to the forefront of your heart. We want you to get involved.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to make this kind of a contribution to your community or your local church, the place to start is drjamesdobson.org. We'll have all the details there. Or, as Ryan said, give us a call, 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825.
And before we go, I want to ask all of our listeners to please join us in praying for this ministry. God is really doing some amazing things, and we want you to get involved to help further God's work here. And if you can partner with us financially, we'd ask you to go online to drjamesdobson.org and click on the Donate tab at the top of the page, and we would really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for tuning in today, and be sure and join us tomorrow as we turn a corner and take a look at the insidious nature of infidelity and help you keep your marriage strong. That's all right here on Wednesday on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Family Talk host and pro-life champion Dr. James Dobson reflects on how his father helped shape his views on abortion.
And my professors would talk to me in very racist terms. They would say, you have to understand what's going on in the inner city. You've got these African-American kids whose fathers are a mystery, and their mothers, some of them are on cocaine, and they can't take care of the children. They're raised on the street, and it would really be better if they had never been born. But I would come home and tell my dad, and my dad would... He would look at me, and the big tears would run down his face. And he would say, "No, that's wrong. That's an affront to God Almighty. Those children are precious." And then he would say, "I would never cast one vote for any politician who would kill one innocent baby." And from that point on, boy, I was committed to the teeth to preserve those unborn children, and I still am today.
For more information on how you can protect life in your community, contact us at familytalk.org. That's familytalk.org.